greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hurricane Katrina when we come back. In 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. And our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 population reduction program. Now, this globalization, I'm sure, is good for business, but globalization is bad for you and me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year. Today, we have a 3-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe today in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a 1-year food supply for 3 days. Do you think that's very wise? Now, these Global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, as I call them, plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce this Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so they tell us through the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their Global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause. And let you and I live for our cause. Now let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. To learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package first. Now that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to the website. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about Hurricane Katrina. I upgraded it from disaster status to catastrophe status on my own. I say that this event is equal to or superior to the hit that we took on 9/11, and it isn't the only hit. Over the last 15 years, that is from 1991 to today, we've taken 8 big $20 billion a year hits. That's $20 billion in damages like Hurricane Andrew. And two of them have been trillion-dollar hits, and the two big ones, Hurricane Katrina, which will total more than $1 trillion, and the 9/11 terrorist attack, which totaled about $1 trillion worth of damage. When you factor in all of the lost wages, lost productivity, and the lost commerce that goes along with it. The lost commerce that is being lost down in New Orleans isn't calculable at this point in time. It's just by guess and by golly, but it's going to be in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And as I reported to you last time, just the increase in the balance of payments deficit, that is, the amount of gasoline we're going to have to buy instead of make here in this country, is going to total $10 billion a month for at least a year. That's a $120 billion hit right there. $120 billion. By comparison, the war in Iraq has cost $200 billion over the last 3 years. $200 billion. It's probably going to cost double that before we get through, maybe more. But this hurricane dwarfs Iraq by at least 5 times over the next 5 years, next 3 to 5 years. Now, citing from, I'm going to give you some numbers here from the International Forecaster, September This is issue number 3, volume 9, number 9-3. Remember, the International Forecaster is put out by Robert Chapman. Listen to this. He said, back in 1979, President Carter instituted an executive order which rolled many of the disaster agencies into FEMA. Today, FEMA is a 7,500-member agency, including disaster-ready reservists. Its new role, in addition to disaster relief, is related to terrorism and civil unrest. Now, its new duty is to assume the safety of our government. If their performances in the hurricane region are an example, we can kiss our government goodbye. What FEMA has the power to do is to take over the reins of government and implement a dictatorship. You name it, and they can do it. Worse yet, FEMA's powers did not come from Congress. They came from an elitist president by way of executive order. And this turkey farm is run by unelected officials who happen to be political trash. These political appointees can become dictators. And, of course, the shadow government behind them all is really pulling the strings. Thus, you have to observe their every action to determine what they're really up to. Needless to say, FEMA is no longer a disaster agency. It is where political favors are dumped, and it is a housing for dictatorship whenever the elitists decide to make that move. It is also being used for clandestine operations and preparing for that national emergency that was planned many years ago. Why is our Congress sitting on its hands when FEMA spends over $1 billion a year on operations that they will not even explain? Well, that's because our Congress responds to the highest bidder, and the elitists have an endless supply of money. Americans know about it and its executive mandate of control. For 25 years, FEMA has tried to overturn the Posse Comitatus Act by using the military in domestic law enforcement. And a recent good example was in New Orleans when FEMA tried to force Governor Blanco to give control of Louisiana law enforcement over to the National Guard and the reserves. FEMA held aid up to the hurricane region for 4 days trying to get the governor to succumb to that demand. She did not, and FEMA and the people of Louisiana were the losers. Just how dastardly can you get? FEMA, in reality, is a backup government for the elitists behind the scenes, and it was created to control the American public. It is, in fact, your enemy. Now, in 2006, the military budget will be $441.6 billion, plus $90 billion for homeland security and the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, last time I reported to you that homeland security was around $40 billion. Boy, am I out of touch with reality. When they opened that program a couple of years ago, they started out at $37 billion to fund it for the first year. Here it is. I think that was in 2002 or 2003. Listen to this. 2 years later, they're funding the thing at more than double what they opened it for, which is typical government bureaucracy. $90 billion will be the 2006 budget for Homeland Security, of which FEMA is now a part. There are some other good numbers in here. Then there was the plan to sell the Iraq oil fields to the U.S. elitist interests. I hadn't heard about this, but the plan was for our oil companies to come in and invest in Iraq. The deal was we'd go over there and regime change, throw Saddam Hussein out. The people of Iraq would welcome us with roses and flowers. Then we could come over there and invest in their oil infrastructure. You know, ExxonMobil would come in and put up billions of dollars and buy in, like we did in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and every place else. Well, they wanted to buy that for 30 cents on the dollar. That's what triggered today's ongoing insurgency. You see, those Arabs over there don't like the idea of the United States coming over there and trying to take their oil and paying them about a third for it. They don't mind you throwing Saddam Hussein out. That was a good idea. But trying to steal their oil for 30 cents on the dollar, they didn't care too much for. Now that's why the oil facilities and pipelines continue to be bombed every day as we write. Now the Bureau, let's see if I got this right, BIS, estimates dollar reserves. Now that's the Bank of International Settlements, including the dollar reserves that are held offshore that don't show up in U.S. data. They've increased by about $500 billion in 2004. $500 billion. Now, the Bank of International Settlements, dollar reserves being held offshore, $500 billion. Now, that's your multinational corporations holding money outside the country. They don't have to pay taxes on it if they hold it outside the country. And then they can offshore your jobs. And this is what's going on with Ford and General Motors. Let me tell you this little trick. Right now, General Motors is offshoring their whole Buick division to China. Now, they're going to take their Buick operations, remove it to China, lay off all of the Americans, hire Chinese at maybe 10 cents on the dollar or less, and then sell Buick automobiles back here in the United States. Of course, it begs the question, who in the United States is going to be buying Buick automobiles out of their unemployment checks? But then that's neither here nor there. I just thought I'd share that with you. Now, here's a little story here about New Orleans. Did you know that New Orleans, the largest U.S. port, New Orleans in terms of tonnage, is also the final point of a vast interior river system that supplies low-cost transportation for agriculture and industrial commodities, along with manufactured products? Bringing back this network online could prove very difficult, as shipping will not be available for 3 to 4 months. And the alternatives just don't cut it. And if you add in oil, gas, and refining problems, you don't have a positive situation for some time to come. In addition, you have a city that doesn't exist. It's there, but it doesn't function. People are being driven from their homes at gunpoint to denude the city of inhabitants. What happens when the water is gone and all that's left is police, National Guard, and black water mercenaries? All those displaced persons will not return home. Most have lost everything, including their incomes, and most were at the lower end of the economic ladder to start with. Now, how can the port and the energy industry function without people? You have lost people, habitation, the river system, and to an extent, energy. The airport is open, but who wants to fly to a vacant city? You're not going to get this take from Wall Street or from George and the neocons. This problem is going to affect the entire country and its economy for at least the next couple of years. And contrary to the lies from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and this is the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the New York Times, they tell us that inflation is running 5%. Now, that's big of them, because for several months past, they've been telling us it's 3% and 3.5%. Now they tell us it's 5%. But there's another part to the story. The Producer Price Index, the PPI, jumped 0.6% in August. July, it was up a full 1%. September should see much higher inflation. Energy costs rose 3.7% during the month after a gain in July of 4.4%. Gasoline rose 9.5%. The fall in auto prices was 1.3%, which were up 1.5% in July. These incentives are coming to an end, so that means higher car prices again in September. Now, the latest on the oil in the Gulf of Mexico is that 120 oil and gas platforms are still shut down. That's 120 out of 580, I believe there is. Let me just take that and run it through my machine. 120 divided by 580 is, come on here, George, 120 divided by 580. 20% of them are offline. That's why we're going to see a very tremendous, I'm going to use the word tremendous here, spike in the price of natural gas and heating oil this winter. I think I mentioned this to you last time. If I didn't, listen to this. I filled my propane tank out here on August 25th. it was $1.39. Today it's $2.09. $1.39 to $2.09 between August 25th. And as I speak, this is September the 19th. Now, in less than a month. Now, that's the spike. That's a cause from this Hurricane Katrina. So I'm paying part of that bill, whether I like it or not. And so are you in Casper, Wyoming. And so are you out in Portland, Maine, and Portland, Oregon. Now, look at these inflation numbers over here. 0.6%. Do you know what that translates out into for a year? 7.2% for the year. Now, remember, your government's been telling you now for the last 3 or 4 years that inflation is only running at 3%. Well, they've been lying to us for 3 years because it's been running at 12% for the last 3 years. 12%. 10% a bare minimum. And you see, they've got this hedonistic type process that they plug into the consumer price index. They figure it this way. They say last year you paid $500 for a TV, but this year the price of the TV is $550, but they made an improvement in the TV, and that improvement more than offsets the $50 increase, so we're going to say that TVs don't cost any more money. That's the way they do that. Hey, listen, they call that hedonics, I believe it is. H-E-D-O-N-I-C-S, hedonics. That's preposterous poppycock. It cost you $50 more to buy the TV, whether it's a better TV or a poorer TV than the one you got last year. That's the bottom line. It cost you $50 more. But it gets worse than that. It isn't just gasoline that's going up. Everything is going up in price because everything requires fuel and gasoline in order to deliver it. So freight rates are going up. UPS rates are going up. FedEx rates are going up. The trucking industry rates are going up. They got to charge fuel surcharges in order to deliver the goods to us. And so those will get translated into higher prices as time goes along. And nobody passes along to you the exact cost. They always pad it a little bit so they can put a little more in their own pocket, which is understandable. But every time these price rises come into play, does your paycheck go up accordingly? Now, you're going to say, well, yeah, I'm on Social Security, and I get a cost of living index raise every year. And last year you got 3.8%. That was your cost of living increase, and your cost of living went up 12%. Come on, boys and girls, that doesn't add up. Gets worse than that. In July it was up a full percentage point. That's 12% per year. 12%. Now here's the government figures. Now they've been lying to us for years. Now it's getting to the point that they can't even lie to cover up the inflation. Now, you can bet that they're lying. It probably is more than 1% for July, but even if it's only 1%, it validates what I'm telling you. Inflation is running 12% a year. But listen to this number. Let me flip a couple of pages over here. There's another number here, International Forecaster, on inflation. Let me see if I can see it here. Ah, come on, George. Well, maybe I can't find it. Let's see here if I'm... Shortages of natural gas. They say Gulf production of gas will not recover for months. 90% of oil production should be back in line in a month. But damage to onshore facilities will keep production down presently. 58% for oil production, 38% for gas production to shut down, and we can expect that for at least 1 year. Did you get those numbers? The Gulf of Mexico produces about 10% of our energy. Now, you sit here and you take a look at a country and you take a look at a world that's already hit peak oil production. I mean, everybody is producing all out. Every well is moving along just as fast as it can pump. And you're going to take 5% of American production offline. And we're the biggest users of petroleum in the world. Now, can you see where this is headed? I mean, this inflation, boys and girls, is going to eat our lunch. Now, here's a little piece that I think you'll love. Listen to this. FEMA has hired Kenyon International to set up a mobile morgue for handling bodies in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Kenyon International is a subsidiary for Service Corporation International, a scandal-ridden Texas-based company. The owners are friends of the Bush's SCI Kenyon's Menorah Garden Cemetery chain, which was, or has been convicted of, desecrating vaults, removing hundreds of bodies from two cemeteries in Florida, and then dumped the gruesome remains in woods frequented by wild hogs. They used backhoes to crack open vaults, remove corpses to make room for more dead bodies. Do you remember this story about 5 years ago? I mean, it was so gruesome and it was so horrible, I couldn't believe what I was getting. But here's this outfit. This is a corporation now. You pay your money to have your loved one cremated. Say $1,000, $2,000, whatever the price is. They didn't cremate this corpse, you know, your Uncle Louie, or your father or mother. They took them out and dumped them in the swamp where the hogs ate them. You know, not that it really makes a whole lot of difference one way or the other. But hey, listen, boys and girls, when you pay your money, you expect to get what you're paying for. Well, they prosecuted him and they convict him. And so this is the corporation now that FEMA has hired to go down to New Orleans and take care of the dead bodies down there. Well, I guess the theory is after they pay their fines and they've done their time and whatever the penalty was, I guess now they can go back out into the marketplace and do business. But it would seem like to me that you could hire another company, couldn't you? To do something as sensitive as this, not one that was convicted of throwing the bodies out in the swamp to have the hogs eat them. The outraged family members of the deceased received a $100 million judgment from these ghouls. The Menorah manager supposedly committed suicide. Then the company donated $100,000 to the George W. Bush Presidential Library. Then there's the case of Tri-State Crematory in Georgia, where the bodies that were supposed to be cremated were found stacked like cordwood in pile after pile. Some vaults that were designed for one body had 67 sets of remains stuffed into it. SCI is the U.S.'s largest funeral and cemetery company. It operates 1,500 mortuaries and cemeteries. In 1999, SCI paid a $55,000 fine in Texas for the same terrible actions. They have a no-bid FEMA contract. The owner, Waltrip, is a close friend of the Bushes, and Joe Albaugh, just another outrageous scam. Hey, listen, with the kind of money that's going to be generated by this catastrophe in New Orleans, you can expect Halliburton, Kellogg Root, Brown and Root, and these ghoulish outfits, along with the president and all of their friends and all of their friends' friends, to be cashing. I mean, fortunes are going to be made here. I don't think that's going to do much for the average poor welfare black living down in the slums of New Orleans, but it's going to do a lot for big multinational corporations, especially big multinational corporations in the construction business. So there's your report from the International Forecaster. Let me give you a plug for that. And I recommend that all of my students subscribe to one of these newsletters. It doesn't have to be this one. But you should subscribe to a newsletter so that you can get some of the news that you're deprived of from the mainstream press, so that you can at least keep your finger on the pulse of what's going on out in the real world. If you're getting your news from ABC and CBS and NBC and Fox News, you're living in Alice in Wonderland. You're not here in the real world. Now, the best of these newsletters, the one that has the most information packed into it for the money you spend, is called the International Forecaster. And it's published by a fellow by the name of Robert Chapman, Bob Chapman. was looking for his phone number here, but I don't see a phone number. There's a there's an email here. It's called internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. The email address, internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. They've got an address. It's P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida. 33951-0518. And you have to have that 0518 zip plus 4. 33951, that's the zip code, -0518 to get a letter there. Price is $129.95, $130 bill for 1 year. Comes out every week, every Saturday. We download it off of the internet. So it comes on your email. It's about 40 pages. I mean, this guy covers what he doesn't cover, I guess, is what would be more appropriate. And I don't know what he doesn't cover. I mean, this guy's covering economics, news, politics, religion, health, science. I mean, you know, this guy's got a plethora of information. $130, it's called The International Forecaster by Bob Chapman. All right, let me give you another piece of information here. Hurricane Katrina poses potential environmental problems also. These environmental problems, remember, have to be remedied at some time in the future. Remember these oil spills I mentioned to you last program? Well, there's one oil spill up the Mississippi River that got into a subdivision with 4,000 houses. Now, I don't know if you've ever lived in a flood zone, but let me describe a flood zone for you. Because I'm from Lolita, California, which is in what's known as the Eel River Valley. That is a valley with a river that runs through it. And every once in a while it floods. And then when it floods, like in 1937, 1955, 1964, those floods come up over the riverbanks and out onto the farmland. Now, over the years, the farmers, not being dummies now, have built their houses and buildings up on mounds of earth. I remember old Bob Mell back in the 55 flood. He almost lost his cows, and so he built his barn. He jacked his barn up and put more dirt underneath it, raised it up 3 feet. In 64, the flood got way higher than the 3 feet he raised it and killed all of his cows in the barn. I mean, wiped him out. And you know, there wasn't a single farmer there that went to FEMA. Never heard of such an outfit. We used to practice in the old days limited government, and if you lost something to the flood, well, that's the choice that you make. You live in the valley because that's where the good dirt is. It's like living on the sides of a volcano. You live on the side of a volcano because that's where the good dirt is, and you take your chances. Now we've come to a new conclusion in America, and that is if you choose to live on the side of a volcano, and you get damaged living on the side of the volcano, everybody else in the country owes it to you to remedy your damage. I don't know if it's right or wrong or good or bad. I'm just reporting to you that that's the change. So when I was a kid and a flood came, we had a loss. So in 55, we all woke up to the fact that we needed to build our buildings on higher ground. So a guy by the name of Bob Laufer, he had an 80-acre place, ran 40 cows just down the road from Bob Mill. He jacked his corral up 6 feet. Well, that's a lot of dirt over about an acre. I mean, that was about, you know, 6 acre feet of dirt. He was hauling dirt. He had a little dump truck, and old Bob, anytime he wasn't working, he was hauling dirt. And he stuck that dirt up there on that mound. Well, in 64, his cows never even got their feet wet. I was working at LaFranchi's at the time, and we had about 2 feet of water in our house, but we knew the flood was coming, so I got everything up. And, of course, when you live in a flood zone, you don't have carpet. People that live in a flood zone don't buy carpet. We have linoleum on the floors, and we have wood floors. Now, as soon as the water goes down, you got to get that water and that mud. It leaves about 3 or 4 inches of mud in your house. And so you got to get in there and you got to get, you know, shovels and wheelbarrows, and you get that mud out, and then you get your garden hose going, and then you wash everything down for 2 feet down, and you open up all the doors and windows and set fans in there, and you start drying the house out. Now, if your house has been underwater for a week, and you dry your house out and you get the mud out, that thing will shape up, and you can go back in there and live again. All right, now listen to this. In this neighborhood down in New Orleans, or not New Orleans, but up the Mississippi River, 4,000 houses have been underwater now for about a week. And inside the house, they not only have 4 inches of mud, but they've got 1 inch of oil sludge in the house from the oil spill. Now, boys and girls, not only have they lost all of their carpet, all of their furniture, and can you imagine these houses that have particle board floors? You know, they've been building houses for years with particle board. I mean, there aren't any floors left. Sheetrock walls. Come on, guys. Insulation in the walls. Those houses are total wrecks. But that's just the tip of the environmental damage, because that oil slick is all over your lawn. It's all over your backyard. It's all over your lawn furniture and your fences. It is killing all of the trees, all of the shrubs. When you get through on your lot in this subdivision, do you know what you're going to have left? You're going to have a little 50 by 100 foot desert lot that won't grow a blade of grass. Well, until, of course, you scrape all that sludge off and then haul in topsoil and sod to redo it. Do you have any idea, boys and girls, what that's going to cost? And how many of those people do you think are going to come back to that kind of a mess? I don't know. I'm from a flood zone, and let me tell you, I've cleaned up a lot of flood and a lot of dirt, a lot of mud out of the houses, but I don't think I'd go back and do that one. All right, let me give you your reminder here at the midway point of the Law Hour. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. All right, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, economics, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order your free package, just call the law school and ask for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at area code 417-273-4967. All right, I gave you the report on the ghouls. That's the people that are picking up the dead bodies down there in Louisiana. I don't want to be insensitive. All of those people were very important to their families, just like my daddy was very important to me. And I'm sure that your daddy is just as important to you. The good news is that there's only about 700 people dead. Now, that's a surprise, because the prediction was 50,000 dead if those levees broke in New Orleans. And perhaps that might have been the case had there not been 83% of the people evacuated before the hurricane hit. Now, down in, Galveston, Texas, in 1900, it killed 6,000 people when that tidal surge came in there, just like that tsunami over in the Indian Ocean Basin. It just wiped out Galveston, killed 6,000 people, and those people, remember, were on their own. They didn't have FEMA to come in there and pick up the pieces, or to bus them off to Houston and put them in the Astrodome or anything else. They were out in the open until they could build some shelters. Now, that's the difference between limited government and all-pervasive and all-expansive government can solve all problems. Now, of course, government can solve all of these problems. It's just, is it really worth doing? The government is going to spend $1 trillion on this piece of real estate down here, or that's what it's going to cost all of us. And is it really worth the amount of money that we're paying? Let me give you an illustration. A guy was on, I think it was McNeil Lair the other night, and he played the devil's advocate, and he said, well, some of New Orleans is 20 feet below sea level. Some of the people who live in New Orleans live 5 feet, 10 feet, 15, or 20 feet below sea level, and when a flood comes, the flood is going to reach its level of Lake Pontchartrain. Some of it's 20 feet lower. Therefore, you're going to get 20 feet of water. Now, up at Lake, I think it's called St. Charles, Missouri, they have a unique solution. And down on the Gulf Coast, they have a unique solution. They build their houses up on pilings. And the cheapest housing that you can buy today is called a double-wide mobile home, and you can buy those for about $70,000. And for $30,000, you can put that $70,000 double-wide mobile home up on pillars, and that's what they do over in St. Charles because the Mississippi River floods every once in a while. It's the cheapest, most cost-effective way when you're living 20 feet below sea level, 15 feet, 10 feet, is to build your house up on stilts. Is that what they're going to do, or are they going to put houses back down there under sea level so that when that thing floods again, which it most assuredly will, I mean, if it flooded once, it's going to flood again. I know up in the Eel River Valley, it floods up there every, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You never can tell. 55 to 64 was only 11 years. 37 to 55 was 15 years or so. But from 64 on, it hasn't flooded. I can't remember. I moved away from there in 64, so I can't remember any big floods up there in recent years. Probably has been one or two since then. It may be 10 years, it may be 20 years, it may be 30 years, but you can rest assured that there are going to be more floods. And the logical thing to do is to replace those houses with $100,000 mobile homes on stilts, and you could probably afford to do that. Are you going to build $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 houses below sea level that can be destroyed again and replaced every 10, 20, 30 years? Is that the way FEMA and the federal government's going to spend our money? Now listen to the way they spent your money on this caper. For at least the last 30 years, there's been a disaster program in place for New Orleans. They all knew that this was going to happen at some point in time. For $15 billion, they could have prevented this. But, it's like anything else in life, and I don't fault the government, and I don't fault the politicians or anybody else for not having spent the $15 billion, because, boys and girls, it's really hard to spend money to prevent something that you hope doesn't happen, hasn't happened yet, probably won't happen, and we don't think is going to happen because we want to live in denial. It's kind of like the second coming of Christ. Nobody is prepared for the second coming of Christ. And that's because nobody really wants it to happen. Because we all know that before it happens, the world is going to go through a God-awful period of time that none of us want to face. So we all live in denial. It's just the way life is. It isn't until after one of these events transpires that anybody says, well, I guess maybe we better do something about it. Now, in the case of Bob Laufer, he said, okay, after the 55 flood, I'm going to add 6 feet to my corral. His cows didn't even get their feet wet. Bob Mell added 3 feet, but it wasn't enough, and all of his cows died in the barn. He didn't have any other place to put them. And the water came up and they all drowned. What a mess. What a mess. No doubt about it. Now, some people can prepare ahead of time and some people can't. It was logical. We should have thought ahead. We all knew this was coming. It's like the great earthquake of San Francisco in 1906. Everybody out there knows there's another big one coming. We just don't know when. Now, how many people are spending their money preparing for the big one over the last 100 years? It hasn't happened for 100 years, and you don't know if it's going to happen next week, next month, next year, or never. It may not come in your lifetime. And we don't want to spend money foolishly, now do we? Out of this $200 billion, are they going to earmark $15 billion to do that levee work around New Orleans? There's 350 miles of levees around there. Are they going to beef those up for a Category 5 storm so that the next one, when it comes and hits New Orleans head-on with a Category 5, 160-mile-an-hour wind, that those houses are not going to blow away? The next time, are they going to put a roof on the Superdome that they paid $5 million for 2 years ago and 70% of it was blown off in this hurricane, a Category 4, are they going to replace that roof, and are they going to engineer it so that in a 160-mile-an-hour wind, it will not be damaged? Are they going to look ahead and do that? Because if they spend the money today like the Dutch did to prevent that flooding from ever happening again, it'll probably be the best spent money that you can spend. Hindsight is 20/20. You can't fault anybody for not spending the $15 billion yet, but boy, you can fault them from today forward if they don't spend the $15 billion to fix the damn thing today so that this doesn't happen 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years from now. Now, you got this environmental nightmare. Even as relief efforts continue for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, attention is turning in some quarters to the immense task of cleaning up ravaged areas. New Orleans was overrun with dirty water contaminated by waste and chemicals. The environmental impact of Katrina is likely to be severe. Do you remember a place called Times Beach where they had these PCBs and they had to evacuate the whole town, bulldoze it down, and then haul all the dirt away? That was here in Missouri, called Times Beach. Well, hurricanes usually leave some imprint on the environment long after they dissipate, such as eroded beaches and flattened trees. But experts say Katrina's environmental damage puts her in a class all by herself. Hugh Kaufman, the senior policy analyst at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, said the cleanup costs are going to be staggering. You're talking about a potential commitment almost to the level of the financial commitment that we're putting into Iraq in terms of resources for evacuation, helping people rebuild, and remediation of the environment. This is a substantial hit that will hit both the taxpayers and the insurance companies, he said. The breaches of the levees that were supposed to protect New Orleans sent millions of liters of water cascading through the streets. Boys and girls, millions of liters of water doesn't tell the story. It's thousands of acre feet of water. We're talking about 90,000 square miles of devastated real estate. Three whole counties down there are underwater. I don't know how many square miles that is, but I'll bet you it's 1,000. You know, you take 1,000 square miles and then you just bury that 5 feet deep. Do you know that there's 640 acre feet of water? 640 acre feet of water in 1 square mile. Now you got three whole counties. My county here is 800 square miles. I don't know how big these counties are, but 800 square mile county isn't a very big piece of real estate. And you got three counties down there underwater. 80% of the city of New Orleans is underwater, but hell, there's a lot more ground out there that's underwater that's not inside the city limits of New Orleans. We're talking about tens of thousands of acre feet. These people are counting this by liters. A liter is a quart, for crying out loud. Oh my God, there's millions of quarts. You talk about understatement. Understatement. Let me give you an illustration here. If you got 800 square miles times 5 times 640, you got 2,560,000 acre feet of water. And that's 326,000 gallons of water in an acre foot. You know, you're talking about a piece of real estate over here that's been devastated beyond description. You know, it's one thing to have a flood that covers a large piece of ground. It's something else to have the flood water sit there for 30, 60, or 90 days, and that's what they're talking about here, with oil and chemicals on top of it. Can you fathom that? And we're going to go in there and clean that up. We're going in there and clean that up like Times Beach. Now, here's the Environmental Protection Agency, and the guy says, you know, this is going to be staggering. We're only 3 weeks into this program, but boys and girls, wait until you see these numbers coming out a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years down the road from today. The numbers that they're talking about today are going to be pygmies by comparison to the numbers that we're going to see. That's why I said that this is a catastrophe from which America is not going to recover. Well, not in the configuration that we've been in before. Now, remember, everybody said 9/11 is going to change America forever, and it did. You can rest assured this hurricane is going to change America forever. Things are never going to be the same again. We're looking at a meltdown of the economy, not just in the United States, but worldwide on the order of what just happened down in Argentina. I hope that you're ready for that, boys and girls, because that's what you should be preparing for. Now, these cities are unlivable, absolutely unlivable. Now, you got some people that are holdouts that have stayed down there. I got to admire them. There's about 5,000 people in New Orleans. Where do these people go to the bathroom? They go out to the back porch railing, sit on the railing, pull their pants down, sit on the railing, and do it over the railing into the water down there in the backyard. The toilets don't work, and they're not going to work for a long time. And that's why the FEMA people and the federal agencies are saying you can't have 100,000 people move back to New Orleans. You don't have the water system running. You don't have the sewer system running. I don't know what the mayor's got in mind. Maybe he has in mind these people should come back and start cleaning up their houses or whatever. I imagine there's something to be said for that. But boys and girls, how do you clean up a house that's got 6 inches of mud and other debris in the house, including the carpet, without having running water to wash this house out with? It just boggles my mind, and I'm from the flood zones, boys and girls. I've cleaned up a lot of flooded houses. Without running water, I wouldn't have a clue as to where to start. I hope you people know more about it than I do. You're going to have running water to wash that mess out. And then when you've got particle board floors down there, that's chipboard, you know. That chipboard just disintegrates, you know, when it gets wet. Plywood will disintegrate after a while. It buckles and warps. And you people have got all plywood in your houses, sheetrock on the walls, particle board on your floors, carpet on your floors. You got 160,000 houses, boys and girls, that are just total wrecks. They're going to be bulldozed down and hauled away. Now that's what that's going to burn. That's what that's going to amount to. Here's the Environmental Protection Agency guy telling you here. Then you've got this oil slick on your backyard over an area of 800 square miles. It's bigger than 800 square miles, but I don't know how much bigger. I'll get some numbers together for you. We'll see how many square miles have been inundated here. And then you got oil and chemicals on top of that. This is a toxic soup mix that we don't know what's going to do to the trees, to the grass. The water will have to eventually be pumped out of New Orleans, but where? Well, back into the Gulf of Mexico, the experts say. Well, as Ken Green, the executive director of the Environmental Literacy Council, explains, there's simply no other option except to send the untreated water back into the Gulf. They have had a lot of sewage and a lot of chemicals that has hit the water, and there's really no way to treat that amount of water that they're going to have to pump out of the entire city. And so it's going to be dumped straight into the Gulf of Mexico, which means you're going to have higher concentrations of those kinds of toxins in the Gulf waters. And as I said, the scale of this disaster is such that it can't run this water through a treatment system to purify it before you put it out into the ocean. So he says, in time, And time will eventually heal most of the environmental damage to the Gulf of Mexico. But there is concern about how dumping this contaminated water might affect the fishing industry, as an illustration. When asked about the impact of the storm on the industry, Walter Keithley, he's a seafood economist at the Louisiana State University, says it's considerable, but not from the environmental pollution. It's going to be very, very large and long-term. But the reason is not necessarily due to the contaminated waters as much as just a complete destruction of the infrastructure in the central Gulf here, he said. The Gulf of Mexico is rich in oysters and shrimp. However, according to industry statistics, 90% of the shrimp consumed in the United States is imported primarily from Southeast Asia. So we're not going to lose the shrimp. I mean, we're going to import that shrimp from Southeast Asia is what the bottom line is. But hey, boys and girls, that's about a $2 billion hit on the fishing industry over the next 5 years. $2 billion hit on the agricultural industry over the next years, 5 years. Hey, listen, you know, those farmers and those fishermen down there taking a hit like this are not going to be buying as many trinkets from Walmart as they would have been buying if this event had not transpired. And while billions of dollars of profits are going to be made on construction, you've got more than those billions of dollars that are being lost from the infrastructure that was already in place. There's a story that goes out among economists that when a window is broken, it's not a loss, it's really a gain. Yeah, they say it's a gain. Here's what these economists from the modern school will tell you. Because now it's got to be replaced, and so it's going to keep the glazier busy replacing the window. Let's try that, boys and girls. Why don't you take a ball-peen hammer and walk around your house and just break every other window in your house? Because it's going to add to the overall economy, because now the window glazier is going to have to come out and replace all those windows. When he gets through writing or fixing all the windows, just write him a check for $1,000 and let him go. And that $1,000 is going to go out into the economy and circulate around, and it's going to stimulate the economy. Can you see how wonderful that is? My God, that is such a good idea that I think you and I both ought to break every other window out of our house so that we can stimulate the glass economy, which in turn will cause a boom in the economy if we can get everybody in America to break out every other window. Can you imagine Pittsburgh Plate Glass? Imagine how their stock is going to go up as they expand their glass-making operations to replace all the broken windows. Imagine how this is going to go when we can convince everybody in America to break every other window out of his house. Can you see how this is going to stimulate the economy? That's serious. I mean, those people have PhDs after their names, boys and girls. They make economic policy at the Treasury Department. They sit in the offices of Kuhn Loeb and the brokerage houses on Wall Street. They make your economic policy. Now, I'm sure that that's good business for all the glass companies in America, but by God, it isn't good business for me or you, the guy that's got to write the check, who's going to have to do without something else to replace those windows that were breaking out. Ladies and gentlemen, every dollar's worth of loss down there along the Gulf Coast is a loss that we will have to spend our 8 hours a day replacing. Whereas if we had not suffered those losses, we would be spending our 8 hours a day building something new. Instead of replacing the house that was washed away, we would have been building a second house, and we'd have two houses instead of one. We would be twice as rich, twice as wealthy, if this hadn't happened to us. And it's not just you people down there in Louisiana and the Gulf Coast. Remember, because of our democratic form of government in place of our old Republican form of government, we're all going to share in the loss. It isn't just the people of the Southeast, the Gulf Coast, who are going to suffer this loss. Everybody in America is going to share it equally. That's what limited liability is all about. You don't have to pay for an insurance premium. When a catastrophe like this occurs, everybody in the country will go to your aid and pay the money. We're going to pay the damages whether we ever paid the premiums or not. The U.S. Commerce Secretary, whose name is Carlos Gutierrez, today announced a formal determination of a fishing failure in the Gulf of Mexico due to the devastation following Hurricane Katrina. Did you get that? Fishing failure. The affected area includes the Florida Keys and from Pensacola, Florida to the Texas border. The determination came in response to a virtual fishery shutdown in the affected states due to a major flooding, damage to fishing boats and fishing ports, waterways clogged with debris, and closed processing facilities. We're taking action now because of the significant economic effects of Hurricane Katrina on fishing communities in the Gulf of Mexico, Secretary Gutierrez said. Major commercial fisheries in the Gulf of Mexico include finfish, shrimp, and oysters, with an estimated value of $700 million a year. And although the extent of the damage to Gulf fishing industries is not yet known, fishing in the region has been essentially halted. My God, can you picture this? The fishing industry along the Gulf Coast is just halted. You just shut it off. Like turning off the faucet. Well, boys and girls, all those fishing boats have to be fixed or replaced. And all of those canneries and the fish processing plants have to be fixed or replaced that were washed away or that were beaten up or destroyed. There was 177 of them. The extent of the damage to Gulf fishing industry is not yet known, but fishing in the region has been halted. NOAA, I think that's the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Agency, will work with the states to assess damages to the 15 major fishing ports and the 177 seafood processing facilities in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Based on preliminary estimates, there are 432 federally permitted fishing vessels in Alabama, 3,700 in Florida, 1,000 in Louisiana, 350 in Mississippi. Additional fishermen hold state permits. The action was made through provisions of the Magnuson-Stevenson Fishing or Fishery Conservation and Management Act. All right, I won't bore you by reading all this article to you, but hey, listen. Are you paying attention, boys and girls, to the economic damage here? The fishing industry along the Gulf Coast is very important. They represent 40% of the seafood consumed in the United States, and it's shut off. Just shut off. What do you think that's going to do to Captain D's and Red Lobster and all the rest of the stores who now are going to have to shift to buying these products from overseas or from some other supplier, some other source? They'll have to get them from Alaska instead of Mississippi or Louisiana. Now, that can be done. That can be accomplished, but the economic damage has a rippling effect that goes out over the economy. Fishermen who are not working today aren't bringing in money. Those fishermen are not spending money on the normal things that they were spending money on, like buying new cars and new pickups. So forget that. The trinkets and baubles and bangles and beads and new furniture that they would have been buying, they're not going to buy. They're going to be spending every dollar they can get their hands on and fixing their fishing boats so they can get back out and going to work. That's what the bottom line to that story is. Well, I'm out of time. We got to leave it right there. So let me sign off by reminding you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.